Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the book.
The book of Ruth, chapter 2, if you would. Been trying to preach through the book of Ruth, and there is a lot more here than I will preach, for sure. But this morning, I just hope I can get you to understand what I'm trying to preach to you this morning. And not because of your lack or whatever, it's my lack of ability to put it into words. The truth that the Bible gives us, that's the challenge for a preacher. It is to put the truth out there and into words where it's understandable, all right? Sometimes, have you ever talked to somebody and you know they understood what they were saying, but you were lost? You know, I mean, I have. There's a fellow that used to come to church. He's now passed away, now in heaven. But I'd used to talk to him, and he'd come and start a conversation, and always felt like he started in the middle of the conversation. And I had to let him talk for a while before I figured out what we were talking about. So, but I hope it'll not be that way this morning. Ruth chapter 2, look at verse 17, will you? The Bible says, "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Now, if you're not familiar with an ephah, it's in the neighborhood of a bushel, all right? A bushel. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." We're going to leave off reading right there. Now, Ruth had spent the day gleaning, all right, in the field, all right? That is, in a sense, she was harvesting. It was personal harvesting for herself, and she had worked all day with it. And in these verses here, she's come home with the results of that day's labor, okay? And she came home with her bag or a sack or a basket full. We're not told what she brought it in, you know, but she had a good amount. Now, I said a while ago, an ephah's about a bushel, and I thought, there may be some here, you don't know what a bushel is. And it's hard to explain. You would understood it better if you'd have ever been to the field with my dad. And if you were picking peas, I remember many times, a bushel basket is about yay big around, all right? It's about yay big around, and it's about that deep, all right? But as a kid, it was that big around and that deep, okay? And boy, out there with Dad filling that thing up as we picked peas, and Dad insisted you don't just come and throw them in. If you come and throw them in, you can't get as many in there. And he said, you pick them and you place them carefully in the basket. In other words, you're filling up all the space. He said, why? Because we were paying for them by the bushel. And he said, we're going to fill it up, all right? So that's what, like I say, we don't know how she brought it back. She had a basket, a sack, or a bag. We don't know. But what she had, though, was sufficient. It was what she and her mother-in-law, Naomi, needed, and it was going to meet their need. But what she had was the gift of grace, too. Would you look back in verse 10 in this same chapter? And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" Everything she had was because of grace, all right? It wasn't because of what she deserved. It was the gift of grace, if you will, all right? It was the grace of Boaz, willing to let her glean in his field. And so a gift of grace. And I want you to see, though, what she brought home that evening attracted the attention of Naomi. That bounty that she saw bringing in caused her to ask a question. In the scriptures, it said she asked where, okay? And there she said, where hast thou gleaned today? Now, we would have asked, hey, where'd you get that? Where did you get that? Where hast thou gleaned today? Now, what's the application for us? I'm not here just to tell you a Bible story and you can go home and say, well, that was interesting. But I want an application, all right? The truth is, the business of gleaning is something we don't understand. We don't do it, all right? It's not something that's practiced in our country. It was God's way of providing for those that were poor, those that were in need, and those who wanted help and were willing to work and help themselves. It was God's way of doing that. If you're not familiar with it, God told the people, that the farmers, if you will, he said, when you pick the crop, don't pick it clean. Don't pick it clean. You leave some. You leave some, so after your harvesters have harvested, those that are poor and those that are in need can come in and they can glean in your fields. That was what it was called. They can come and pick what's left for their own need. And so that was what was going on. Now, like I say, you say, well, what is that for me? You know, some of y'all said, I don't even know what a bushel basket is. All right, so how would I understand gleaning or anything like that? Well, I'd like to put it on a spiritual nature if I could, because I believe spiritually you and I are like Naomi and Ruth. We're people that are in need, all right? When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to spiritual understanding, when it comes to help for life, all right? I mean real help for life. You can look around. Most of us don't look hungry. All right? Most of us don't look hungry. We've been fed. If you're here today and you don't have something to eat, I'm serious about what I'm going to say, you go to my brother's house. He'll feed you, all right? He'll do that. I will say this to you. Honestly, if somebody's here and you don't have something to eat, you let me know. I don't want you to go hungry.
No, sir.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about physical things.
No, sir.
Most of us, really, most of us have enough and even more than enough. That's why Brother Earl over here has a job. He runs storage place over here. He manages a storage place. We got so much stuff today, we have to rent a place to put it, all right? And so it's not like we're in need, you know, we just can't have. No, but on the spiritual plane, there's stuff we need. We need help for life. We need help for getting through this life, all right? So where we're going to get that, all right? I don't know about you, but I really enjoy those blessings that come from God and come only from Him, and I want to get in on that. I want to get in on what He's got. So here we are. We're in need. We're hungry spiritually, and our soul needs to be fed. We need it. We're just desiring, if you will, the crumbs from the table of God. And maybe you look around and you see another Christian, and boy, you think, man, they seem to be enjoying the best of everything. Yeah. I'm not talking about, once again, I don't want you thinking on the financial end, okay? I'm not talking about, well, they're driving the BMW, you know, and they've got the new house and all that. No, I mean, they just seem to be really enjoying life, getting the most out of it, having a good time, and the good things of God. You say, I wonder why in the world can I have more like that? Well, there's a reason. I think there is. And the question is, where have you been gleaning? Where have you been gleaning? I just want you to consider three implications, if you would, this morning from our text. The first, obviously, the where. The where. Hey, that's the emphasis of the question at hand. Where? Naomi saw Ruth come in. Boy, she had this a bountiful harvest, more than you would normally expect. And she said, where have you been gleaning? Where have you gone? All right, where's it coming from? I'm going to tell you the truth. The where makes all the difference. The where you glean makes all the difference. Now, I believe God led Ruth to the field. I believe God led her. The Bible said it was her hap. And she happened upon it. And she happened that way because God's directing. God was in it, all right? Led her to the field of Boaz. That was where she had labored all that day. That was where the Bible said she received not just gleanings, but she received handfuls on purpose. There was some left on purpose for her, more than would have normally been given. It was there that she received what she needed to meet the need of those two widow ladies, herself and her mother-in-law. It was important because she was in the right place, all right? Now, I'll be honest with you. In our day, there's a lot of places you can glean when it comes to spiritual things. There's a lot of places you can glean, all right? There is. We have Christian radio and Christian television. And you can go there, all right? But I just want to warn you, you got to be careful where you glean, all right? You've got to be careful where you glean. There is the field today of popular Christianity. That Christianity that makes it so much that like the world that you can enter in and be a part and just feel. I mean, you don't have to make any kind of change whatsoever. You just go in. I believe popular Christianity in our day, I'm not saying those folks aren't saved. Don't misunderstand me. But their Christianity is so thin. It's just such a weak veneer, if you will. And those kind of folks, they're all right as long as everything's going good. It's okay, man. I mean, you know, if it's health and wealth and you got all of that stuff and everything's doing good and your mama's okay and daddy's okay and the kids are doing all right and the marriage is functioning well, hey, that brand of Christianity may sustain you, all right? That brand that doesn't ask much and it doesn't offer much.
Amen.
But it's a feel-good thing.
Okay.
You can go and you can feel good. Hey, I've done my part for God.
Right.
Here I am, you know, and that's there. There's also the field today of what I would refer to as liberal Christianity. That brand of Christianity that really denies the great doctrines of the Bible. Denies the virgin birth. Denies the blood atonement. Denies the inspiration of the Scripture. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean, there are churches today that the preacher would get up and tell you, hey, it doesn't matter if Jesus was born of a virgin. It's not necessary to believe that. It is not necessary to believe that the Bible is really God's Word and that God sent it to us. Instead, we can just accept it as, you know, a good book and everything. Hey, denies the inspiration of the Scripture. Denies the blood atonement. In other words, denies that Jesus Christ, what He did when He went to the cross was what was necessary to pay for your sin and mine. Now, you say, preacher, there's not churches like that. There's plenty of them like that. Plenty of them like that. Now, the truth of the matter is they're dead as a doornail, all right? There's no life in them, all right? There's the new evangelical field you could harvest in, all right? It doesn't demand separation from anyone or anything. Hey, you just go on, do what you're doing, you know. Hey, you can go to Billy Bob's on Saturday night, come on Sunday morning, sing Saturday night in the bar, and Sunday morning in the choir.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? That's another sermon.
Amen.
Another sermon, okay. But you can glean there. But if you glean there, well, you're going to wind up lacking. But there's another field. That field, I believe, represents, if you will, the will of God for you. It's where God would have you to be. As it's described in Ruth, it's your hap, all right? It's the will of God. It's the place, hey, the place where the Bible's believed. It's the place where the Bible's preached. It's where the Word of God is expounded, it's taught, and expectations are given that you ought to do what it says. And it doesn't do any good, you know. I've had people say, well, I've read the Bible, I know all of it, you know, I've read through it. I said, well, it obviously hadn't affected you much. And it's not enough just to know the facts, okay? Hey, it's a field where the Bible's not apologized for. The old time religion's not explained away, it's not overlooked. No, it's emphasized. It's emphasized. And hey, I'll be honest with you, that's the kind of field you're in right now. That's the kind of field you're in right now. If you come, you're always going to have somebody stand here and say, open your Bible.
Amen.
Here for a church service, open your Bible. We're going to look at what God's Word says. We're going to read the Scripture, okay? Because that's what you need. I visit people knocking on doors and I tell them, hey, I'll promise you this. If you come to First Baptist Church, Haltom City, at Sunday school, you're going to get a Bible lesson.
Amen.
At the preaching service, you're going to get a Bible message. It will be the Word of God. All right? Now, you may not like it, but it will be the Word of God. Okay? It's going to be that. Hey, that's what we need. Can I say this to you? Other fields may look better. But you need to quit looking and stay where God wants you to be. Stay where God wants you to be. Remember what was said by Boaz to Ruth in this same chapter. We looked at it last week. Boaz told Ruth, he said, you stay here. Don't go to another field. He said, if you'll stay here, I'm going to have my workers, they'll look out for you. They'll look for you can be protected. Nobody's going to bother you. Not only that, going to put down some handfuls on purpose for you, all right? You stay here. Don't be looking over there. Our problem is we get in the Word of God. You get somewhere where the Bible's preached, the Bible's taught, and human nature is sometimes we rise up against it. We want to rebel against what's said. And so why can't we go over there? Because everything that guy preaches against here, they don't preach against anything over there. But where are you getting the Bible? Where are you getting the Bible? Okay? Hey, where are you gleaning? The where of the gleaning is so important. You said, why? Because the where will determine what is gleaned. Now, I know that's great profoundness. The where will determine what is gleaned. I just ask you this question. Would you rather eat at the table of a good cook or one that's just learning? I'd rather pull my feet up under the table of the good cook. Hey, the one that knows how to put it out there. Hey, the where of where you glean is going to determine what you get. Ruth came home with her bag or sack or a basket full. What she had, completely sufficient. What she had said was the gift of grace. The gift of grace. What she had was all that she needed. Now, I want you to realize this. All of that was because of where she had gleaned. Where she had gleaned. God led her to that field of Boaz. That the leading opens up more the further along you get in the book of Ruth. You see the plan of God open up. All right, and we can understand it now because we're here looking back 2,000 plus years, way back under nearly, well, over 3,000 years ago. We're looking back and we see how it all works. We see how God put it in motion. It was the hand of God there, all right? It was because she is in that right field, because she listened to Boaz, she got the benefit from Boaz telling his servants, now listen, while you guys are gleaning, just drop some extra. You see her coming along, drop some extra. Right. Just put it down in her path. Just make it where she can't miss it.
Right. Amen.
Why? Handfuls on purpose, all right? God saw to it. Why? Because she stayed where she needed to be, all right? Hey, the Bible example gives us examples of people who didn't glean in a very good field. They gleaned, but they didn't get what they wanted. You say, who? Well, let me name you one. Prodigal son. Prodigal son. He took what his father had for him, took his inheritance, took off with it, lived it up, and he wound up gleaning in the hog pen. All right? The Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of what those pigs were eating. Hey, he was gleaning, but it wasn't what he wanted. Why? Well, he's in the wrong field. See, he'd been at home with the father, but he decided to leave that field. Now, you know, I'm sure maybe like, I'm not sure, I'm guessing. I'm guessing it was one of those guys that said, you know what, it's too restrictive here, can't have a good time, I have to work too much. Never forget Tom Malone. He's a pastor for years and years in Michigan. I never forget him telling about being brought up on a farm. He said, I was living there, and he said, it wasn't with his folks. He was living with some kin folks. And they said, look, and he said, well, what about going to town, having a good time? They said, no problem. He said, you can do it all you want. He said, once you get everything done during the day that you need to get done, you can go to town, have a good time.
That's
Tom Malone said, boy, it sounded good. Until he found out. By the time I was at the end of the day, the only place I wanted to go was bed. Said, that's the only place I was interested in being, you know. He said, I don't want to go to town. Hey, but sometimes we get the idea, boy, it's so good over there. No, that's the wrong field. The prodigal son realized that. I think about old Peter. Peter got crossways with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had made his boast. He had made his brag. He had said, Lord, everybody else may deny you, but I'll die for you and I'll die with you. But you know the Bible scripture, he denied the Lord. Then old Peter found himself gleaning at the fire with God's enemies. Found himself gleaning at the fire with God's enemies. Can I tell you this? He wasn't happy there. The prodigal wasn't happy there. Why? Because he didn't find what he wanted. He didn't find what he needed. You don't do it. And you're not either. You're not going to be happy till you find, hey, where's the place I can really get what I need? Hey, when you get in the correct field, you know what you find? Here's what you find. You find sustenance. You find something to feed on. Find something to give you something. Look, you are more than an individual of flesh. You're a spiritual being. God made you that way. Now, some people dry up spiritually. Why? Because it's not fed. It's not fed. Why? Because they're gleaning in the wrong field. They're gleaning in the wrong field. You said, well, I'm going to get my spirituality, you know, from Eastern mysticism. Go ahead, but you're going to find yourself empty. Going to find yourself empty, all right? But if you're gleaning that right field, you'll find sustenance. You'll find what your soul needs, what that spirit needs. And by the way, you'll find this, it'll be sufficient. It'll be sufficient. It'll fill you up, all right? It'll give you what you need. Now, I don't mean you'll go and get it one time and I'm done. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I like to go to the table three times a day. Three times a day. Truth of the matter is, I like to go between meals for snacks occasionally, all right? Try to keep from it, but I enjoy doing that. I like to be fed. But boy, some of God's people, it seems like, preacher, I was here 6 months ago, came back for another fill-up. Man, you get better mileage than I do, all right? You get a lot better mileage than I do. I need to be fed. I need that, all right? If you come and you're in the right field, you'll find it to be sufficient. Not only that, man, and I love this part, you'll be satisfied. Satisfaction is the hardest thing to have. Satisfaction. Boy, just to be satisfied. How many people do you know in this old world that are satisfied? Satisfied. I mean, there's not many. We're always looking, I just need more. I just need more. Now, the problem is most of that more we think we need is temporal things. I need more of this. Or I need more of that. I need a newer car. I need more clothes. I need more shoes. I need more purses, all right? I need more golf clubs. Or I need more fishing rods. Or I need more of this. Hey, the truth of the matter is we don't need that. We just want that. But all of that, man, if you got it, how long are you satisfied? How long are you satisfied? I bought a car 3 years, well, 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago, got that thing paid off. Now, I'm not looking for another car. I'm not going to go to the dealership and set in a new one. If you buy a new one, I'm going to try to admire it from a distance. Because I know what happens when you get in a new car. I'll never forget, we were talking about buying a bus years ago. An old brother Harold was still alive and he's in the church and we were talking about buying a new one or buying a used one. Never forget what Brother Harold said. He said, man, nothing smells like a new vehicle. And there is, I mean, there's just nothing like you sit in that new one and all of a sudden you begin thinking about how yours doesn't match up to that one. That's why if you get a new one, I'm going to try to admire it from a distance. I'm going to shake your hand, say congratulations, glad you're making the payment, not me, all right? And don't want to get into that. Hey, but we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied. Can I say this to you? In the spiritual realm, for your soul and your spirit, if you'll learn to glean in the right place, you'll find satisfaction. You'll find satisfaction. You'll say, boy, that's good. I'm coming back for more. I'm coming back for more. You say, preacher, it's a little hard during the week. Well, that's why God gives you the Bible. You can glean all during the week. You can glean there. You can just open this book up and read this book, all right? And if you do it, boy, you find happiness. Hey, you have a hard time relating maybe to what I'm talking about this morning. Maybe it's because you've been gleaning in the wrong field, all right? You're just not gleaning in the right place. You've missed what God wants to give you out of His coffers of grace. He wants to give it to you, but you haven't come to glean in the right place, all right? You don't come often enough. You're not there. Hey, the what you get is going to be determined by where you glean. The last thing I want you to consider with me is, okay, when are you going to glean? When are you going to glean? You'd be amazed at how many people I talk to tell me, preacher, I'm working hard, work 7 days a week, or have to work this or that, can't come to church, can't be there, can't take time for that, I want to be able to retire early, I'm planning to do it, and preacher, when I retire, I'll have time. Well, the only trouble is, that's not the time. Ruth answers the question for us. He said, how you figure that? Look in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me go next week to the field. Is that what your Bible says? That's not what your Bible says. Now, I want to back you up. I want you to look at verse 22 of chapter 1. Verse 22 of chapter 1. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. In the beginning. And boy, two verses down, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. Hey, it wasn't, well, Naomi, listen, we've had a long journey. It's been tough coming from Moab to here. We're just going to take it easy for a little bit, get accustomed to the climate here and get used to being here and get settled, and I'll glean then. See, that's the problem with human reasoning. But Ruth said, let me now go to the field. Hey, the question is, where are you going to glean right now? Where are you going to glean right now? The question Naomi asked her later was, where'd you glean today? Not what's your plans for 2 months from now, but what are you doing right now? Now, here's the problem. The devil comes and he offers all kinds of excuses for you and me to put off the gleaning. All kinds of things. He'll come along and say, look, you've been very busy. You need time for yourself. Take it easy. Relax. Hey, Sunday's the only day you don't have to work. The only day you don't have to work. I've got people tell me that. It's the only day I don't have to work. I said, I promise, if you come to church, we're not going to make you move pews. I promise. Amen. You won't have to. But it's amazing. Hey, the devil offers all kinds of excuses, and they sound good. But can I say this to you? What you need now. You need it now. The need is today. You ever think about it? Tomorrow, you may be too weak to glean. Why? Because you didn't glean today. You didn't glean today. Tomorrow, you face the time. You say, well, I wish I could, but man, I'm just too weak. Today's the day. I want to tell you, God's timing is now. His day is today. In the New Testament, He says, now's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Now's the time. It's not tomorrow. It's right now. He calls you and I today to come unto Him, all ye that labor. Now. Come now, all right? Just come now, and you can get it. Provision is available. When? Now. Now. Don't come and just say, I'll put it off. No. Would you just come and look? I'm going to tell you this, if it's worth having, it's worth putting forth some effort to get it, all right? To get it. You come to church and we try to preach you the truth, but can I say this to you? You got to come wanting to get something. You got to come wanting to get something. If you're just there going, okay, boy, I hope he doesn't preach too long. If you're looking at your watch, since you're getting close to 12 o'clock, preacher. Could you? Hey, we're not coming. I've never known people to go to a ball game and say, man, I hope this thing don't go in extra innings. Hope it doesn't go into overtime. Boy, that'd be terrible. No, we don't do it. Now, I've gone to ball games and left before they were over. I've done that. I was at the old Turnpike Stadium for the Rangers, the original stadium they played in when they came. I was there. I think I had a group of boys with me from Sunday school class. I was there. We're sitting in the outfield enjoying the game, and I'm looking at it and said, we're going to beat the traffic. So I said, all right, guys, let's go. So we got down, we left. We're out in the parking lot. We heard this massive cheer go up. Man, everybody was, yeah, man, they're screaming and yelling. Got in the vehicle, turned on the radio, and found out I was there the night Pudge Rodriguez hit his very first home run. But I was in the parking lot when it happened. Hey, can I say this to you? That's what happens to a lot of God's people. We're there, but we tune out. We're there, but we tune out. We miss what's there. We miss what's available. We miss what's provided. Why? Well, we just let our mind wander off, okay? Let our mind wander off. We thought, I ain't going to be like this or whatever. Hey, listen. Come and take advantage of it. Can I say this to you? God blessed Ruth with handfuls of purpose. Can I say this to you? He's still in the giving business. He's still in the giver's business. His grace is still sufficient. His grace still sufficient for you. I believe this all my heart. The Lord still rewards those who are willing to come. And drawing with this idea of gleaning in the field, willing to stoop in humility and look for what God's provided. We'll just come. We'll just come and willing to put in the effort. There's a wrong place to glean. There's a right place to glean. Sometimes I don't believe you find the right place on your own. You have to have God working and leading in your life. If you'll get there, the labor and effort are worth it for the blessing and provision He'll give you. It will. Our God still has some handfuls on purpose that I think He'll drop for you. He'll drop for you. But you know what? If you're not here to pick it up, you're going to miss it. You're not going to go home. You say, well, I wish, you know, I've heard people, well, I sure wish I'd have been there. From the fleshly standpoint, I wish I'd have stayed at that ball game and watched Pudge Rodriguez hit that home run. You say, what difference would it have made? None. Actually, it's a better story as an illustration the way I did it, right? Worked out better. But wait a minute, we're not talking about watching somebody hit a home run that doesn't matter. We're talking about things from God. Feeding that soul and that spirit you have. Hey, you need it. You don't understand why you're dry and why you're empty. It's because you've not been gleaning in the right place. Not been gleaning where you need to. Oh, listen, I want to ask you, where are you going to glean? Where are you going to glean today? Where are you going to glean this week? Oh, the world's got a lot of fields, but they're empty. There's no sustenance. There's no nutrition there for you spiritually. You wind up dry. Don't do that. Don't do that. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Hey, listen, maybe that old soul, maybe that old spirit's a little bit on the dry side. Maybe God's spoken to you a little bit.